Then I'll take you back to Marguerite, deliver you safe and sound, and hope you aren't going to call the cops.
There was silence as they crossed the bridge.
Who did kill those men?
You wouldn't believe me if I told you.
I would.
She sounded angry now. He wondered if bringing the wine to the dinner had been a wise idea. Life was certainly not a cabernet right now.
It's not easy to believe.
I can believe anything. You have no idea what I can believe.
Really?
I can believe things that are true, and I can believe things that aren't true. And I can believe things where nobody knows if they're true or not. I can believe in Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and Marilyn Monroe and the Beatles and Elvis and Mr. Ed. Listen, I believe that people are perfectible, that knowledge is infinite, that the world is run by secret banking cartels and is visited by aliens on a regular basis, nice ones that look like wrinkledy lemurs and bad ones who mutilate cattle and want our water and our women. I believe that the future sucks. And I believe that the future rocks. And I believe that one day, White Buffalo Woman is going to come back and kick everyone's ass. I believe that all men are just overgrown boys with deep problems communicating, and that the decline in good sex in America is coincident with the decline in drive-in movie theaters from state to state. I believe that all politicians are unprincipled crooks, and I still believe that they are better than the alternative. I believe that California is going to sink into the sea when the big one comes, while Florida is going to dissolve into madness and alligators and toxic waste. I believe that antibacterial soap is destroying our resistance to dirt and disease so that one day we'll all be wiped out by the common cold, like the Martians in War of the Worlds. I believe that the greatest poets of the last century were Edith Sitwell and Don Marquis, that jade is dried dragon sperm, and that thousands of years ago in a former life, I was a one-armed Siberian shaman. I believe that mankind's destiny lies in the stars. I believe that candy really did taste better when I was a kid, that it's aerodynamically impossible for a bumblebee to fly, that light is a wave and a particle, that there's a cat in a box somewhere who's alive and dead at the same time, although if they don't ever open the box to feed it, it'll eventually just be two different kinds of dead. And that there are stars in the universe billions of years older than the universe itself. I believe in a personal God who cares about me and worries and oversees everything I do. I believe in an impersonal God who set the universe in motion and went off to hang with her girlfriends and doesn't even know that I'm alive. I believe in an empty, godless universe of causal chaos, background noise, and sheer blind luck. I believe that anyone who says that sex is overrated just hasn't done it properly. I believe that anyone who claims to know what's going on will lie about the little things, too. I believe in absolute honesty and sensible social lies. I believe in a woman's right to choose, a baby's right to live, that while all human life is sacred, there's nothing wrong with the death penalty if you can trust the legal system implicitly, and that no one but a moron would ever trust the legal system. I believe that life is a game, that life is a cruel joke, and that life is what happens when you're alive, and that you might as well lie back and enjoy it.
She stopped, out of breath. Shadow almost took his hands off the wheel to applaud. Instead, he said,
"Okay, so if I tell you what I've learned, you won't think that I'm a nut?"
Maybe. Try me.
Would you believe that all the gods that people have ever imagined are still with us today?
Maybe.
And that there are new gods out there. Gods of computers and telephones and whatever. And that they all seem to think that there isn't room for them both in the world. And that some kind of war is kind of likely.
And these gods killed those two men?
No. My wife killed those two men.
I thought you said your wife was dead.
She is.
She killed them before she died, then?
After. Don't ask.
She reached up a hand and flicked her hair from her forehead. They pulled up on Main Street outside the Buck Stops Here. The sign over the window showed a surprised-looking stag standing on its hind legs holding a glass of beer. Shadow grabbed the bag with the book in it and got out.
Why would they have a war? It seems kind of redundant. What is there to win?
I don't know.
It's easier to believe in aliens than in gods. Maybe Mr. Town and Mr. Whatever were men in black, only the alien kind.
Maybe they weren't that.
They were standing on the sidewalk outside the Buck Stops Here, and Sam stopped. She looked up at Shadow, and her breath hung on the night air like a faint cloud. She said,
Just tell me you're one of the good guys.
I can't. I wish I could, but I'm doing my best.
She looked up at him and bit her lower lip. Then she nodded.
Good enough. I won't turn you in. You can buy me a beer.
Shadow pushed the door open for her, and they were hit by a blast of heat and music, enveloped by a cloud of warmth that smelled of beer and hamburgers. They went inside. Sam waved at some friends. Shadow nodded to a handful of people whose faces, although not their names, he remembered from the day he had spent searching for Allison McGovern, or who he had met in Mabel's in the morning. Chad Mulligan was standing at the bar with his arm around the shoulders of a small red-haired woman, the kissing cousin, Shadow figured. He wondered what she looked like, but she had her back to him. Chad's hand raised in a mock salute when he saw Shadow. Shadow grinned and waved back at him. Shadow looked around for Hinzelman, but the old man did not seem to be there this evening. He spied a free table at the back and started walking toward it. Then somebody began to scream. It was a bad scream, a full-throated, seen-a-ghost hysterical scream, which silenced all conversation. Shadow looked around, certain somebody was being murdered, and then he realized that all the faces in the bar were turning toward him. Even the black cat, who slept in the window during the day, was standing up on top of the jukebox with its tail high and its back arched and was staring at Shadow. Time slowed.
Get him! Oh, for God's sake, somebody stop him! Don't let him get away, please!
Shouted a woman's voice parked on the verge of hysteria. It was a voice he knew. Nobody moved. They stared at Shadow. He stared back at them. Chad Mulligan stepped forward, walking through the people. The small woman walked behind him warily, her eyes wide, as if she was preparing to start screaming once more. Shadow knew her. Of course he knew her. Chad was still holding his beer, which he put down on a nearby table. He said,
Mike? Chad?
Audrey Burton was a step behind Chad Mulligan. Her face was white, and there were tears in her eyes. She had been screaming.
Shadow, you bastard, you murderous, evil bastard.
Are you sure that you know this man, hon?
Said Chad. He looked uncomfortable. It was obvious that he hoped that whatever was happening here was all some kind of case of mistaken identity, something that one day they might be able to laugh about. Audrey Burton looked at him incredulously.
Are you crazy? He worked for Robbie for years. His slutty wife was my best friend. He's wanted for murder. I had to answer questions. He's an escaped convict.
She was way over the top, her voice trembling with suppressed hysteria, sobbing out her words like a soap actress going for a daytime Emmy.
Kissing cousins,
thought Shadow, unimpressed. Nobody in the bar said a word. Chad Mulligan looked up at Shadow.
It's probably a mistake. I'm sure we can sort this all out,
he said sensibly. Then he said to the bar,
It's all fine, nothing to worry about. We can sort this out. Everything's fine.
Then to Shadow,
Let's step outside, Mike.
Quiet competence. Shadow was impressed.
Sure,
said Shadow. He felt a hand touch his hand, and he turned to see Sam staring at him. He smiled down at her as reassuringly as he could. Sam looked at Shadow, then she looked around the bar at the faces staring at them. She said to Audrey Burton,
I don't know who you are, but you are such a cunt.
Then she went up on tiptoes and pulled Shadow down to her and kissed him hard on the lips, pushing her mouth against his for what felt to Shadow like several minutes, and might have been as long as 5 seconds in real clock-ticking time. It was a strange kiss, Shadow thought, as her lips pressed against his. It wasn't intended for him. It was for the other people in the bar, to let them know that she had picked sides. It was a flag-waving kiss. Even as she kissed him, he became certain that she didn't even like him. Well, not like that. Still, there was a tale he had read once, long ago, as a small boy. The story of a traveler who had slipped down a cliff, with man-eating tigers above him and a lethal fall below him, who managed to stop his fall halfway down the side of the cliff, holding on for dear life. There was a clump of strawberries beside him, and certain death above him and below.